We are turning this morning to Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, and we read from verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honour the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. And the Lord would bless his word to our hearts. Now our text this morning is found in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now the title this morning is very simple. Even a child can remember this. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. That's exactly what we have in this text. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. How easy it is in our generation to trust in other things rather than the Lord, even as the Lord's people. And it's very interesting how society doesn't want us to trust in the Lord. They want us to trust in them or their ideas or their particular philosophies. But the Bible's very clear. When the person, a man or a woman or a child, a boy or a girl, comes to Christ and believes in him as their Savior, their ultimate life is then led, the rest of their lives are led ultimately with this view: I will trust in the Lord. The psalmist says in a place, I think it was David, by the way, who says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to have confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than princes. What a contrast. What an alternative view of life we have in the Bible. And what we have here this morning is a full-orbed truth. This truth can cover all manner of areas of our lives. And we look at some of those. But it also covers our heart attitude. And next time, God willing, we'll see how this works out in practice. So what we're learning about is trust in the Lord. We live in a day when this is the day of the expert. It's astonishing how many experts there are. And yet, even those who are experts in one field deny the truth of God's word. We are so different and so privileged to have an open Bible that we can read in our own time. But this text is not just for our time, it's for every time. And this text and others like it have helped the Lord's people in very difficult circumstances in the generations in past history. So what we're going to learn is trust in the Lord. But let me just remind you of what we looked at last week. And it's in verses 1 to 4. And it was about the scriptures. Do not forget. First, do not forget. Do not forget what? Now we need to remember that this is like the picture, as I said last week, of a father giving his son very sage or wise advice. But it's also for the believer that God, our Heavenly Father, is giving us clear and wise advice. My son. Notice those words. It doesn't say son. It says my son. This speaks of relationship, but it also speaks, as God would say, this is my son. This person, this son, this child of mine belongs to me. My son, forget not my law. The law here is another word for the scriptures or the statutes or the precepts. You read about that in Psalm 119. But, so there's the negative. Do not forget. Second, keep my commandments. And is that wonderful? If this book of Proverbs was full of negatives, we'd go away quite negative. But the negative is put here to emphasize the positive. Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. What a thing. Third, found in verse 3, bind them about thy neck. And we saw this isn't speaking, this is not speaking literally of binding the word of God about our necks. We know what that would look like. We'd look quite foolish. It's speaking in picture ways, and this helps some people. They think in pictures rather than in words. Some people are gifted in maths and arithmetic, as we used to call it in the old days. And others are gifted in words, and they can write wonderful words. And others think in pictures, and they love pictures. And that's how they help themselves. And this is what the Lord does. He accommodates himself to us, and he says, bind them about thy neck. And the fourth thing was, write them on the table of thine heart. Now, we need help to write them on the table of our hearts. We need help to not forget God's word. We need help not to keep it. We need help to bind it. And we need help to write it. And the only help that is offered from God is the Holy Spirit, who writes the word of God, the law of God, upon the hearts of God's own people. Now let's look at these two verses. Trust in the Lord. You could put it like this. One commentator says, this should be the polar star of the child of God as he looks to the Lord in trust for his Heavenly Father's providence, provision, promises, and grace. Now, what's the polar star about? Well, in ancient times, and actually quite up till quite recently, sailors at night, the captain of the ship particularly, would guide the vessel following the polar star. And in this part of the world, we know where the North Pole is, not just with a compass, but because you can see the North Star. And that's how we should see our lives, being guided and directed by this very truth, trust in the Lord. So, to be confident in God, to depend upon the Lord, we trust the Lord for our salvation, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We trust in the Lord for our provision. We trust in the Lord for his guidance. We trust in the Lord for his grace. We trust in the Lord for his help. We trust in the Lord. Now, it's okay if we've got very faithful, reliable Christian friends and senior Christians to speak with and to seek out help from them. But ultimately, the scriptures tell us to trust in the Lord. Because after all, even the wisest Christian man or woman is still only a man or a woman who's full of weaknesses and prone to sin. But the Lord's wisdom is clear. It's perfect. And if you read Psalm 19, you'll read the fear of the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, and so forth. Trust in the Lord. Here is the attitude of the true child of God. As one man puts it, it's the center and marrow of true wisdom to trust in the Lord. Proverbs 22, verse 19, and Proverbs 28, verse 25. It's not a half-hearted trust. It's not most of our trust is in the Lord. It's not 99%. It's trust in the Lord with all thine heart. This is the second thing. Trust in the Lord entirely. Now, this is not easy, friends. And we face some great enemies that would tell us not to. The world will tell us, don't trust in the Lord. Trust in us. Think of the kings in previous generations. Hezekiah was under siege. The whole city was under siege. And the enemy captains were saying to the people in their own language in Hebrew, don't trust in this king. Don't trust in the Lord. Don't trust in him. He can do nothing for you. Look what we did to the other cities. Oh, but Hezekiah had a different mindset, didn't he? He trusted in the Lord. And the Lord gave him a great victory. Oh, you think of the great champion of the Philistines, Goliath. And he comes to this little whippersnapper of a young boy, David, who hasn't even got any armor on him. And the giant laughs at him. He says, you're coming to me with sticks and stones? In other words, what are you trusting in? You're not trusting in your armor. You're not trusting in any weapons. But what did David say? I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. I come in the name of the Lord. He trusted in the Lord, and so can we. See, this is such an encouragement. Trust in the Lord, think of this, and rely upon him as you would your most treasured friend. Now, of course, the Lord is greater than a friend. But the Bible teaches us he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. With all thine heart. It is childlike trust, unwavering, unswerving. It is confidence in our Heavenly Father's well-proved wisdom, faithfulness, and love. It is not double-minded or double-hearted, as James speaks about the double-minded man who is unstable in all his ways. We trust the Lord in faith. We trust the Lord with our minds and with our hearts and with our wills and with our substance. Another writer puts it like this. Human power is the idol of man. His understanding is his God. But the last day will bring God's truths to their own level. And then there's no excuse for themselves for ignoring God's truth. Trust in the Lord entirely. And the second thing is, exclusively. When we've asked somebody for help or advice, and they've given us some of their own advice, and things haven't worked out, don't lose heart, friends. We come to the Lord. We come to the Lord. We are so prone to lean on our own ideas when we have the Bible as the great book. Yes, it's a book of instruction, but it's also a book of encouragement. Trust in the Lord. You know the Bible's full of this text. We'll come back to it in another proverb. We'll leave this for a little while. But there are many, many examples of this little phrase, trust in the Lord. And when our Lord Jesus was on earth, the disciples' faith was wavering. And at times, they seemed unsure. But after he died on Calvary and was buried and rose from the dead, their faith was, and they saw him in all his glory, They trusted in him absolutely 100%. Exclusive. This puts it in a different perspective. Yes, entirely, but also exclusively. What does this mean? We've just had the election of the most powerful man in the world. You might smile at that. He is the most powerful man in the world. Look at how many leaders, world leaders, will come and bow at his feet. But we wouldn't do that, would we? Exclusively. And of course, the devil has been very busy in softening up those who hold to the scriptures and exposing them for their faith in the Lord and their exclusive worship of the Lord. But we shouldn't fear. Let's be clear about these things. We worship, we trust in him entirely, and we trust in him exclusively. Just one other thing. Now look at this challenge. Lean not on thine own understanding. Oh, how easy that happens. The devil sometimes whispers through in various ways. He doesn't do it physically, but I'm using picture language, of course, again. We get these ideas that, oh, our wisdom is more significant than the Lord. And the Lord says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Not entirely, not completely. But interesting, isn't it? There's still, the Lord says, don't lean on thine own understanding. In other words, we have understanding. We all have brains, and we all can think through things. And this is so important, to think through what we believe and why we believe it. But lean not. Now, I thought of an image that came to my mind. I don't know whether you've ever seen this, but I saw a person one day leaning on a fence. Unfortunately, he didn't realize that it had just been propped there because the guys who were installing it had gone off for a break. So what happened? He fell flat on his face on the other side of the garden. Lean not on our own understanding. Or you can think of that famous Tower of Pisa. Well, none of us that lean on that tower will knock it over. But if you lean up against it, it looks as if you're pushing the tower. Lean not. This word understanding. It could be good intelligence. Good wisdom. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And then the last thing here. We've seen the trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with entirely. Trust in the Lord exclusively. Lean not, fourthly, on your own understanding, but here's the promise, and it's marvellous. Look at this promise. In all thy ways, in all thy toing and froing, in all the ways that you go, in all the directions you take, acknowledge him. How practical. Let's think of ourselves going on a car journey. How many of us pause to ask the Lord to give us safe travels? How many of us? I trust all of us do. We can't take anything for granted anymore. It doesn't matter how far the journey is. It doesn't matter how short. We can all be involved in accidents of one sort or another. So, in all thy ways. By the way, you can use that as a picture. When we're setting out on a journey, yes, but when we're setting out on the journey of life, as young people, we say to the Lord, Lord, I'm acknowledging you. I'm looking up to you, Lord. And I'm acknowledging, Lord, that if I acknowledge you, here's the promise, he shall direct thy paths. Oh, it's one thing when you're on a mountainside to climb it up yourself and to get lost. But it's far more sensible to climb a mountain with a guide, isn't it? Some people here know what it's like for people to presume there's a beautiful sunny day down at the base of the mountain, but by the time they get up midway or further, The weather has closed in and they're in trouble because they didn't bring a guide. Ah, but we have a guide. The Lord says it here. He shall direct. Now, of course, the Lord has appointed all things in our lives, but how different when we're trusting in the Lord, when we're relying upon Him, not upon our own wisdom, and we acknowledge Him, He shall direct thy paths. And it's thy paths. It's an individual application here. This is a young Christian man or a Christian woman, and they're not sure of which path to take. And they go to the Lord and they say, Lord, I'm not sure. Maybe somebody is considering a transfer, or maybe even a position in work. Maybe they're considering a new venture. Maybe they're moving home in the locality. And you're acknowledging the Lord and you're saying, Lord, I just want to be where you want me to be. And I want to be there because I know that pleases you most. But also, I want to be of the most use. And these are old principles that sadly are not mentioned much. How, Lord, can I be of most use to thee in this church? Lord, I'm acknowledging you, so help me in this decision. And how wonderful it is, and I'm sure many here could say, when I did that, the Lord never disappointed. He always, always took me in the right path. Now, this doesn't mean that the path will be as clear as day before you. There will be twists and turns. There will be ups and downs. There will be mountaintop experiences, and there will be valleys. But who's the one who's guiding us? Who's the one who's taking us? Who's the one that's directing us? And by the way, it's one thing to have a guide on a mountain, but they're still fallible and they make mistakes. It's quite another thing in life to have an infallible guide who will guide us all the way. Clear, how wonderful that is. What an assurance that is. There's just a few applications. We trust in the Lord, firstly, for salvation. We trust in Him. There's a story told of a famous preacher, one of dear Charles Haddon Spurgeon's mentors. He did have some mentors. And this man was a wonderful preacher. And one day he was visiting a Baptist church out from the country. He was based in London and he was out in the country. He was doing an anniversary service on a Saturday. And in those days, it was in Suffolk, there were lots of little rivers. You call them burns up there. Here we call them rivers. These little rivers, little streams, and it had been raining very heavily and the little stream had extended. And so people needed to take a wee ferry over to where they were going. So this famous man, preacher, came up to the ferry point, and there was this man on the ground, and he looked up at him and he says, Sir, I'm one of your converts. And the preacher looked down. The poor man was very drunk from alcohol. And he looked at him and he says, Alas, sir, you are, because if you were Christ, you would not be like this. How easy. We live in a celebrity preacher culture. We trust in these great names. But we need to look to the Lord. We need to look for salvation. We can't look to a preacher for salvation, even if they're faithful. We look to Christ. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We pray, Lord, make us wise unto salvation. That's again from the Proverbs. But secondly, we look to the Lord, trust in the Lord for wisdom. His wisdom is perfect. Third, we look to the Lord for guidance. We trust in Him for guidance. And I already emphasize that. Fourth, we trust in the Lord for growth as Christians, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're trusting in Him, you see. We're leaning on Him. We're relying on Him. And fifth, We're trusting in him to bring us to glory. And what a thing that is. We're not trusting in ourselves to finish the race of faith and to be in the presence of Christ forever. We're trusting in him. And it's so different. If we were to trust in ourselves to get to glory, we'd be lost. But if we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, who came from heaven's glory, from glory itself, to this humiliation, who was born in a low condition, made under the law, suffered in so many ways while he was on earth, bore the wrath of God, took the curse of the cross for our sakes. And we're trusting in his finished work at Calvary. And we know that when he died on the cross, he died for us. We're trusting in him, aren't we? And we're trusting in him exclusively. And of course, the promise is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And the Lord Jesus says himself, all that the Father hath given me will be with me. You see, this is so simple. And yet, maybe somebody here, maybe even you're listening and thinking, no, not for me. I don't really want to trust in the Lord. I believe I've got my own resources. Oh, friend, think again. Think again. That's our text. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths in this life and the life to come. Lord, we're thankful for this morning's service. We're thankful for the wonderful truth that we can trust in the Lord. And of course, that's married with our obedience. O Lord, we pray that we trust and obey, knowing that thou wilt keep us and sustain us and help us and encourage us. Part us with thy blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.